Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. Today we are in the book of Genesis. This is our 21st study, going verse by verse through the book of Genesis. And we come today to chapter 22, beginning our study in verse 3. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's actually begin reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. When God told Abraham to send his teenage son Ishmael away, he got up early and he did it. He did not put it off. It was a hard thing for him to do. And he does the same thing here. You know, if we delay to do the hard things that God tells us to do, there is a danger. We may end up taking ourselves or talking ourselves out of doing it altogether. And so it's important to get at those things right away, as Abraham did. Verse 4, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off, and reality hit home. There was the mountain, and this was no dream. It's really happening. He's about to offer his son as a burnt offering. Verse 5, And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham said, We are going to worship. Worship. Worship is not bowing your head to the Lord. It is bowing your will to the Lord. Worship isn't what happens on Sunday morning when we sing songs to God. It is what happens throughout the week when we do what God commands. And the harder it is for us to do, or the more of a sacrifice it is for us, the greater the act of worship it is to God. Abraham and Isaac are both going to bow their wills to God. They are going to worship. 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And what a picture this is. Father and son walking up a hill together to worship God. 7. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac knew about burnt offerings. No doubt he and his dad did this sort of things many times in the past. 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Isaac was a gift from God. God really, he really had provided the sacrifice. And now God is testing Abraham to see if Abraham loves the gift, Isaac, more than the giver, God. 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac is likely in his 20s here. Abraham is about 120. If Isaac wanted to, he could have said, Dad, are you crazy or something? There's no way you're getting me on that altar. Sorry, Dad. But he didn't. Here's a son who trusted his father's walk with the Lord. God told you to do it? Well, then you have to do it, Dad. 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And think about the person you love the most. Put them on that altar. Put yourself in Abraham's place and put a dagger in your hand. And think about how you would feel at this point. 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. Verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." God knew what Abraham would do, but now Isaac knows. Isaac knows that, yes, his dad loves him, however, he will put God before even his son. And now Abraham knows something about himself that he didn't know before also. It isn't theory anymore. It's not speculation at all. God is number one with Abraham, and he knows it. God allows us to go through trials to test our faith. If we remain faithful through tough times, and if we obey God even when it's not fun, there isn't anyone, including the devil, who will be able to say, "Oh, your faith isn't real. You're not really saved." Remaining faithful through trials assures us of our faith. God already knows. 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." If Abraham would have had a time machine, he could have gone forward about 1800 years, and when he arrived, he could have learned, or he would have learned, that that mountain that he and Isaac were on had a new name, Mount Calvary. And he would have looked and he would have saw God's Son hanging on the cross. And so we have one mountain, two altars, two sons, two sacrifices, but one big difference. God stopped Abraham when he was about to swing the dagger, but God did not stop the Roman soldiers who swung the hammer and drove the nails into his own son. 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son." God swore by himself, because there isn't anything greater than him to swear by. Abraham was willing to give up his most valuable possession. As a result, God says, "I'm going to do something for you, and something for the whole world." 17. He says, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." This is actually a repeat of an earlier promise, except for one thing. God now tells Abraham that his descendants, Israel, shall possess the gates of their enemies. God is saying that one day Israel will have authority over everyone who opposes them. 18. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Jesus is the greatest blessing of all. Eternal life, forgiveness, escape from hell, victory over any sin today is ours if we have received Christ. God says, "Abraham, because you were willing to give up your beloved son for me, I will give my son for the salvation of mankind." 19. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. The young men did not know what Abraham planned on doing to Isaac on that mountain. I'm sure he told them now, but they didn't know that before. Verse 20, now it came to pass, after these things, that it was told Abraham, saying, "Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazel, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Remuah, also bore Tiba, Gehem, Thehash, and Maaka." Abraham's brother, you might recall, had gone with him as far as Haran on their way to the land that God wanted them to be in. And now after Abraham and Isaac returned from their trip, they received news that Nahor, Abraham's brother, is the father of 12 children. And one very important granddaughter, Rebekah, she will actually become Isaac's wife before too long here. Chapter 23, verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah is the only woman in Scripture whose years are mentioned. She died at age 127, which means that Isaac was 37 at the time. 2. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. He will see Sarah again. In fact, they have been together for about 4,000 years now, going on forever. But all that did not matter at the time because she was gone. Verse 3. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, verse 4, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Sarah had been a very beautiful woman, but death had changed that and will change it even more very quickly. Death was starting to corrupt the once beautiful Sarah. It's not even Sarah anymore. It is corruption. And it's time to put it out of sight. That's what Abraham wants to do. Verse 5. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, and as we will see, they answered him in a very kind manner. It's good to be extra kind and sensitive to those who have lost a loved one. And they were to Abraham. They answer, verse 6, hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Abraham had offered himself to them in friendship, and he had referred to himself, although a friend, friendly, he had referred to himself as a stranger. But they had a much higher opinion of him than that. The spokesman for this bunch said, Abraham, there's not a man among us who would not donate their family tomb to you for Sarah. They did not share Abraham's faith, but they respected him for the man that he was. 7. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. When Abraham bowed to these people, he was showing gratitude for their kindness. They could not bring Sarah back. They had no answers. But it was nice to know that they cared. 8. And he spoke with them, saying, if it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me. Ephron was one of them. And so they knew Ephron. So Abraham says, will you ask him for me? Verse 9. That he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price as property for a burial place among you. It was nice of these people to offer to share their tombs with Abraham, but Abraham wanted a separate place for Sarah. Verse 10. Now Ephraim dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephraim the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, when Ephraim heard Abraham mention his name, he began to speak. In the presence of all who were gathered there, Ephraim answers Abraham himself right here concerning this matter. Verse 11, no, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. He says, Abraham, you want to buy the cave which is in my field? Well, I'm going to give that cave to you for free. Not just the cave, but the entire field as well. 12, then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land. Abraham bows to show respect. And he also bows because he has something to say. And he wants everyone to know that he's going to be speaking with a humble attitude. And here it is, 13. He spoke to Ephraim in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, "If you will give it, or give the land, excuse me, if you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there." Abraham did not want that land as a gift. He wanted to buy it. And he wanted to buy it in the presence of these witnesses. Ephraim is being generous now, but boy, that could easily change down the road. It may be that Ephraim, or one of his descendants, all of a sudden decides that they're going to dispute Abraham's right to that cave down the road. Abraham wants to legally own that thing. 14. And Ephraim answered Abraham, saying to him, "My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead." In other words, Abraham, since you won't take it as a gift, I will tell you that it is worth 400 shekels of silver. That is what it is worth, but it does not matter if it is paid or not. 16. And Abraham listened to Ephraim, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephraim, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. Abraham paid for it immediately. 17. So the field of Ephraim, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, for all who went in at the gate of his city. Abraham paid for it, and he received it right away. Verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre that is in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. You say, why did God devote an entire chapter to this tomb and the burial of Sarah? Because she is a woman of faith. And for that reason, she along with her body will be at the resurrection of the just. You know, if these bodies of ours are never going to come back, then throw the useless thing out into a public pit or burn it like the Hindus. But Abraham knew Sarah was coming back. She will be in that body of hers forever. And that is why God made a big deal out of the body and the burial of Sarah. And we're going to stop there for today. I went a little longer than I normally do, but I wanted to finish chapter 23. We'll begin our study in chapter 24 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.